Merkle Media.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going high," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkle.
And I'm Patrick Swayze.
Wow! I got Patrick Swayze. This is awesome. Are you sure?
No. Brian Schiffer, how are you?
You could call him Patrick Swayze.
No.
Okay, if you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, you know Patrick Swayze, please contact us here. And hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the hammerlanelegends.com webpage. Hit the contact section and get a hold of us that way. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me and I'll get a hold of you. Well, I'll contact you. Shipper, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line, 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375.
Damn,
what's
that?
Call sure. That's enough. Hey, I'll get you. Anyway, leave a short message of anything crazy, wild, or insane you've seen on the road or participated. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Simple 5-10 minute speech.
Talk.
You know, talk.
Call.
Message. Anything longer than that, get a hold of Brian here and he'll schedule you to come on the show
because, hey, Matt,
you know,
brother.
Just talk amongst peoples.
Because we're people.
You're people. So I'm just a people person.
Yes. Talking about keep us
fueled, keep us caffeinated at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. It's virtual tip jar if you like what we're doing here. It helps keep the show moving, keeps me caffeinated. I'm going to switch back to Mountain Dew soon. And, hey, have at it. You want to follow simple directions and contribute? Have at it.
And if you don't, it's all good.
Thanks for looking.
Yep.
Amen. But today, we're back with our avid show with Karen. How's that?
That was beautiful. Well done.
Give me my tablet, my pen, and I'm off and running.
Karen, how are you doing? I'm doing well. It's good to see you.
Fantastic, because some people like me the way I used to be.
Nope, I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going there.
Sure, you know.
I'll tell you what's in my head, but I'm not going to say it. So anyway, it is nice to see you again. We hope everything is going well. Here we are for another conversation. It's fantastic. We've got Olivia and Karen and Cheryl off on the in the wings
right
today.
Cheryl is just a little church mouse.
It's nice to have all three. Is it really is?
Well, thank you.
And what we wanted to do today was we're gonna sit and talk to Karen about her life as a driver and her life. You know, how she got into driving, how this all morphed into what she does today, and then the things that she does today. I think it's gonna be a blast. It's gonna be interesting. I think people are gonna love it. So strap in. Hold on, because it's going to be fun. Karen, how did you get into all this stuff? How did you get into driving and doing what it is that you do?
It was about, for years I worked in an office, but even when my daughters were in school, everybody always kept telling me, you ought to go drive school bus. And I just didn't think I wanted to do it, especially because they were stick shift. But I lost my job twice in 2013,
uh-huh.
and I just said, I'm not doing this again. And I kind of sat back and just went on unemployment and worked for Olivia for a little bit at their sandwich shop. And a friend of mine told me about this school bus driving job.
Uh-huh.
And I went the next day and talked to them, and they started training me and a bunch of other people on Wednesday. So it was meant to be. It just happened that fast. And I drive school bus, and I have been doing this now for 10 years, and I love it. And prior to that, when I first got married, I was married to a truck driver. Uh-huh. So I drove his truck then, and I always said, oh, I could drive a school bus because I knew how to drive a truck, but not. They're totally different. But anyway, so then I have a second job, and I drive party bus and limo and take people to and from the airport. So just kind of fun stuff, different.
That is different. That's awesome. And you know, what's really cool is you were like the lady truck driver before being a lady truck driver was cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty awesome. I think it's, you know, I think that's, I would have loved it if my mom would have been a truck driver. That would have been cool. So
it was different. I remember driving down Interstate 70, and this was in probably 1976, and a state cop stopped us to check our logs, you know, the log books.
Yeah.
And I was driving, and he climbed up on the, you know, the steps and then jumped down. He goes, damn, I'm just not used to these lady truck drivers, which I thought was hysterical. Because I shocked the heck out of him driving, you know. But, and then, like I was telling Olivia this earlier today, truck stops and stuff were not set up for women back then either.
Yeah.
You know, they did not have showers, you know, like, so when I trucked with their dad, we'd have to stop in a hotel, like, or motel, you know, like every other night for me to get cleaned up, you know, for him, he could go in and get a shower. There was no place for me to do that.
Really?
So no, not in the '70s.
Wow.
So things have changed. And also there was no CDLs then. I just had to get a chauffeur's license, which I thought was funny. No training. All you had to do was just go take a test, you know, like a written test, but, it was different, but it was a lot of fun. You know, we trucked together as a newly married couple. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, then we moved back here, and I didn't ever drive again with him. I didn't drive, but I did go on trips with him.
Right.
We went out on a trip one time just for the day and ended up gone for 2 weeks. So that was fun. Ended up in Florida and had a really good time. But, you know, and I love to travel. So that was the fun thing about, you know, yes, I was newly married, but we both loved to travel. So it was fun to get out and just kind of experience different things. I grew up in Oklahoma. So this part of the country, and I live in outside of Pittsburgh, I had never been further east than Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of the early history of this country I got to experience moving here.
Sure.
So it was fine. It was a lot of fun. He and I like to go to plantations and, you know, do different things and see different, you know, historical sites. And that was fun. We would take our kids too. And a lot of times we'd go in the truck. I would be in the car behind him and kind of take vacations along with working.
Right.
And we bored our kids to death. We went to Blennerhassett, West Virginia, 1 year, because he found a lot of different things that we, you know, he thought we would enjoy. So we went back, and we loved hearing the tour guide talk about the history. And our kids are like, we're bored. Can we go home? You know, now she likes it as an adult.
Right.
You know, she took her kids and they did the same thing. Oh, this is boring. Can we go home? But, you know, it was enjoyable. I got to see a lot of the country and do different things. So that was fun. And, and I, you know, I'm a talker, obviously, and I like to drive and I like kids. So, you know, I should have done this a long time ago.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Perfect jobs for me, for both of them. So
100%. And you know what the truth is funny as it is, you know, in our modern age, the terminal that we work at, and I think this is probably true with most, you know, most trucking companies, you know, LTL carriers like Pitt, there's no ladies restroom except for in the office.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? I mean, I never thought about that until you said it. And yeah. I'm like, well, yeah, we don't have a lady, you know, like just the regular, you know, the driver's dock worker bathrooms, you know, aren't like the executive lounge rooms.
No.
I use that term very, you know, it's like, yeah. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like there's no feet, there's no women's bathrooms. So yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, I can't imagine having been doing it back in the 70s, needing to be able to, you know, take a shower, get yourself, you know, you're a truck driver, you know, you're on the road. You know, you need to be able to take a shower, stay clean and everything else.
Well, like Olivia and I were discussing earlier too, you know, that cuts into your take home money.
Yeah.
You know, if you're having to get a motel every other night.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I said, isn't that counterintuitive?
Yeah, it definitely is. So yeah, it made it difficult.
I mean, I'm sure a motel back in the 70s was a lot cheaper than today.
But still, that's just money, you know, that if you had,
it's an expensive shower.
If you even had the sleeper, well, if you had a bathroom, or right. You know, but if you had a sleeper big enough, because we didn't,
right?
So that was another thing. And then I remember in 1976, a friend of ours, Ross, bought that bicentennial truck back then that had had a real big camp, you know, sleeper camp, big. I don't even know what you call it now, but it had
the big condo on
that. Yeah, it was great. And he and his wife trucked together before they had kids. But his truck was amazing because this compartment was just like a little mini trailer, you know.
Sure.
But when I trucked with their dad, I think that sleeper was 27 inches wide.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
tiny. It was tiny. That's why he had to sleep. We couldn't sleep face to face. He rarely slept back there though. I would, or if I drove, he would sleep, you know, in the sleeper, but there wasn't enough room for two people. And you had to crawl in the damn thing and we couldn't do that now if I tried.
Right. I mean, that's not even the size of a twin bed, is it?
No.
I mean, that's not even like a regular twin, you know, a single bed.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Yeah,
when we took our kids, they got stuck back there too. So. Yeah. That was a long time ago when we were much younger and much thinner and much more agile that you could climb back there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But exactly. That's one thing about I don't like driving the limo because you're crawling in the back of the limo. You can't stand in a limo. You can stand in a bus.
Right.
But because we do have party buses that I drive too. And I do like I prefer those much better. Yeah. You know, because
they're easier to clean. You said
they're easier to clean.
Oh, yeah.
Because, at the end of the day, we have to take the garbage out, and we have to take all the beverages out because, like in the winter, they freeze, and in the summer, the pop cans or bottles get too hot, and they'll explode. So yeah, we have to take all that stuff out, and just the garbage. But it's like end of the night, I'm crawling around in the limo. No, thank you. I hate
it. Yeah, I'm about it.
I really do. I hate it. But the buses I like. It's just because I drive a bus every day. I think that's probably why I like it better, too. But the one thing I do not like driving my school bus is it's not air conditioned. In the last couple of days, it's been extremely hot. But because I drive a big bus. Special needs buses, they have air conditioning. But
I didn't know that.
But my school bus does not.
Wow.
It gets very hot. So when I'm done at the end of the day, looks like I peed my pants because we all get out and we're soaking wet.
Yeah, you're sweating. Yeah. And
it's true. And you can't go anywhere. I have to come home and change clothes or finish that
ass swamp ass. Yeah.
So anywhere, you know, you got to come home and totally get cleaned up. But it's kind of embarrassing. The bus drivers was talking to me the other day because she does hair. And like on Thursday evening, she goes to the salon to do hair. She goes, I go home and shower and everything because, you know, we're so sweaty.
Right.
And said, I try to tell customers that and they look at me funny. And it's like, well, until you experience that, you know, you're driving in a hot ass vehicle. You don't realize. Right. So,
yes, but, man, with a bunch of sweaty little kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God bless you.
It's more the stinky stuff that I can't stand. And one of the boys was having a fun time doing that in the back of the bus yesterday. Farting. Yeah. And then the girls are going, "Miss Karen, he's farting back here." It was so funny. And I said, "That's not funny." And like her kids would always say, "Yes, it is." They are not. And I don't like it.
Not in a closed, not in a closed environment. They're not. That's for sure.
Not in a hot environment.
No, it is not. But Olivia wanted me to tell you this one story. Okay. Uh-huh. Thought this would be funny and you guys will appreciate this.
It's at her expense.
Yeah, it's at mine. I was working second job ever since I've been driving school bus. I've always had a second job because we don't work in the summer. Right. So I was working at the airport, Pittsburgh International Do they even call it international anymore? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, yeah, anyway, I don't know. It's airport. Just doing the shuttle around the airport parking lot.
Okay.
And I was in their bus and we had to wear this stupid vest, you know, like the
safety vest.
Yeah, the safety vest.
Oh.
You know, ones that reflect.
Yeah.
And it had all this Velcro on there. So I was driving and my sweater got stuck and I went like this and I fell out of the seat. And the bus is moving. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm on the floor and the bus is still moving." And I jumped up. See, my family thinks this is hysterical. And I jumped up. I did not hit anything. The bus just rolled in the grass. Whew. I was so lucky, you know, didn't hit anybody, didn't hit anything. But yeah, everybody's always laughed at me. "Yeah, you fell out of the seat." I fell completely out of the seat. I did not have my seatbelt on, obviously.
Oh, that's awesome. Even in the airport, you can fall out of your seat. Things can happen.
Yeah.
Safety first.
Honest to God, that was so funny.
See that, like, 9,000 airport security people didn't, like,
no,
over to you.
I had just got in the bus because I was getting ready to go pick up wherever, and there was nobody around. Nobody saw me drift into the grass. Nothing.
Wow.
No, and I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm older and I'm not a little
silent
person.
Humiliation.
It took me a while to get up and realize, what am I doing?
You know, there's an office somewhere in the Pittsburgh airport where they're like looking at the cameras and somebody's going, "Did you just see that?
That crazy lady." Well, you know, when I started driving.
That's just Karen. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. When I started driving.
That's a part of new training and orientation.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh
my God. Well, when I started driving school bus, though, we did not have cameras or audio, but we do now. And, you know, and I will remind the kids sometimes when they're being really obnoxious, you do know there's like how many cameras in here videoing what you're doing? And they're like, "No," and they hear you.
Don't pick your nose.
You know, yeah. Or,
well, you
no shenanigans in the back of the bus, but no. And that is a good thing because it protects the kids, but it also protects the drivers.
Yes.
Right, if you've got a dispute with a kid, you know, then all they have to do is just come pull the film, which they have not for me, but also the other drivers too. But in our bus, we have about 40 buses. It's a smaller school district. Mm-hmm. Well, Upper St. Clair is smaller. Compared to where Olivia's son goes, that school district is huge. But anyway, probably half of them, the drivers are women. You know, it's probably about half and half.
Yeah, we've got women,
half, and we're all, most of us are all older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got about three drivers who are turning 80.
Wow.
Yes.
And, bless them.
That they don't come back, you know, because they are in one of them. You can tell he drives not that great anymore. So
he's throwing everybody under the bus. You know,
I have to laugh because, you know, I mean,
unintended.
I'm in my too. It's, you know, sometimes you do just, your reflexes aren't what they used to be. So, you know, not
why do that, I hear that
it'd be an age thing, but 80 years old driving the school bus with yapping kids. Yes.
You still have to have DOT physicals, right?
Yeah, we have to have physical every year. So,
So school bus drivers every year, irregardless.
Yeah, every year. And then you have to recert every 4 years. So where you just have to go take a written test with the state, but the school district or the bus coordinator, they train us. You have to do like 7 hours of class time.
Wow.
And then it's 2 to 3 hours of in the bus driving with a trainer.
And then
they can make sure that you still know what you're doing.
And they do that every 4 years.
Yep, every four years.
You do that every 4 years. You guys have a medical card then too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they get a DOT physical.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not DOT. It's different.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm supposed to have one, I think, too, because I'm driving the party buses and stuff. It's just, you have to send it to the state. I mean, it's required. So maybe it is DOT. I don't know.
Yeah,
because
we have.
Is it a 2 year fit? Yeah, when you go for your medical card, is it like
just 1 year? You have to do it every year.
Oh, see, like, for us driving, we're good enough, we can get a 2 year card.
But we're not good enough.
Well, no, I'm just saying, sleep apnea, high blood pressure, anything like that, knocks you down to a 1 year card.
We have to do it every year.
I've seen 6 months too. Like if you have a medical issue,
right.
We had a delivery driver at a company I worked for, and he had to get his renewed every 6 months.
Well, some of the guys, the older ones, they have hearing aids, so have to go to a special place just to get that, checked on and stuff. So that they could very well be 6 months. I don't know, but.
You mean there are deaf old men out there driving children around?
No.
How do you think they can handle driving children around?
Right. I didn't hear a peep out of them.
I didn't hear the kids all night, whatever.
No.
Get that part out.
Yeah. No, they're cleared. That's
they can hear.
Right.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, they wouldn't let, the state wouldn't let them drive if they wouldn't have given license.
We're definitely scrutinized, in that respect.
Yeah.
But,
Well, they want you to make sure you're in good health. You got to drive the kids around, and I totally get that, it's a good thing.
So then one of my other faux pas that I did was for another job. I took a busload of kids to a farm show in Harrisburg.
Okay.
And I was driving a diesel bus.
Uh-huh.
I put gas in it.
Ooh. Whoops.
Yeah.
We're not going to make it back today.
Missed it by that much.
I had the biggest bus. They had to bring two buses from here.
Wow.
To bring all the kids home. Needless to say, I got fired from that second job.
There's other second jobs. Positive attitude,
Yeah.
We'll be good.
I didn't even realize it was a diesel. I didn't.
I don't know how that's physically possible, though. Like, isn't it an impossibility to make it fit?
Because the gas hose has a smaller nozzle than the diesel, so the gas would fit in it.
Oh.
It went the other way. If you were driving a gas and you tried to put diesel in it,
shouldn't fit into a gas.
One of their buses I'd never driven, and I did not know.
Right.
Only one was diesel, and that's the one I had. So.
And you got it.
Well, see,
I got it.
We have the problem of these newer tractors we have need to have the DEF fluid.
Oh, we do too. School buses. Yeah.
But what we're having is occasionally.
And these are professional truck drivers.
They're filling the big 150, 200 gallon tanks with DEF.
Oh my God.
That made
sense. Where the diesel fuel is supposed to go. So when you said you put gas in it, that's not a far stretch from, filling it with DEF.
At least yours is a mistake that's like, hey, I get that.
Right.
It could have been a diesel bus, or it could have been a gas bus. Yeah. If you're used to that, that's what you pull up to.
But
these are.
DEF is totally different, and it's all that. It's like all salty or.
Oh, yeah. It's corrosive. It kills. If you actually pumped it into the diesel fuel and you didn't start your engine, because that's exactly what it does. No harm, no foul. We'll pump out the diesel, we'll pump out the fluid, and we'll put fresh in. Yeah. But if you fired it up and pulled away from the pump, you're screwed because now it's in the fuel system, it's in the engine, and it just eats the inside of the entire engine apart.
I believe it's made of
hate that stuff.
It's made of urea. So
it's a corrosive material. It's a corrosive. It just eats away.
There's like four notches on, or four little indicators on ours in the school bus, and it goes down one indicator every week.
Oh wow!
Once a month you're having to refill that thing.
That's not bad. Yeah, ours is like every other day.
Yeah, but
because you're driving more.
Like 500
yeah.
miles. Yeah. yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah definitely. Because I put on probably close to 100 miles a day. Because I'm driving, I'm there three times a day, morning, and then I do a kindergarten run, midday, and then the afternoon run. So yeah, I'm doing about 100 miles a day.
Right.
So
that keeps you busy.
It does, but I live half a mile from the bus garage, so it's perfect.
Oh, that is perfect.
I'm not driving.
So Karen's coming into work no matter rain, sleet, hail, or snow.
She's got no excuse there.
No excuse. Yep. Half a mile. I could walk, but I won't.
Amen. That's why you got that cool pooper car,
Both of them. Well, that PT Cruiser's not. Oh, it's cute though. They're cute. Challenger is cool. The PT Cruiser's just cute.
Yeah.
So. That's an oversized neon.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a miniature hearse.
This is the second one that I've owned, and that's what they've called it from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. So you liked it so much you bought it twice.
I did.
That's cool.
The Rangers.
But I just laughed because my dad, he would have loved those cruisers. He would have just, because it's a Chrysler for one thing, but just the cool because it looks old.
Yeah.
But not, from the back, it looks like an older vehicle. And they're cute.
Yeah. The other one, I can haul anything
in my cruiser.
And she has.
I have moved many times in those cars.
Wow. Yeah.
The other car, the only reason why I'm saying this is because I worked at Chrysler.
Yeah.
Was the Prowler that came out.
Oh, that was
pretty
cool.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
I like the front end on that, how that looked. Yeah. It reminded me of a street rod.
Yeah, it has that street rod, hot rod look. Yeah.
I actually just saw one of those yesterday. One of the drivers, he has one of those.
Uh-huh.
And he, on nice days, he'll bring his car in. But
that's cool.
I'm like, ooh, there's that Prowler. Yeah. Yeah. It was about that color, too.
Yeah.
They're cool.
They are.
Yeah.
I agree.
Anyway, enough for Chrysler.
These guys with their toys, boys with their toys, they have to bring them, to show them off.
Yeah. I don't know. It sounds like there's a Karen with a toy, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. I like it. I love to drive it for one thing, but I love all the compliments. I mean, it's just great.
Yeah, of course. That's really neat.
I always, because I got rid of my Cuda back in 82. She was just a year old. Olivia was a year old. Wow. I was trying to be practical and grown up, and I cried when I watched that car go down the street.
I bet.
And then a week later, the kid that bought it rolled it. He was drinking and he rolled it.
Wow.
9.5 years, and then he totals it, right after he bought it. But I went and looked at it like somebody died. It was like car cemetery. It just killed me. I took pictures of it, and I love that car. And I always wanted another one, but I knew I couldn't afford an old Cuda. Okay.
Right.
But when these Challengers came out
we did have a Cuda in the late 80s.
Yeah, I did. We bought another one. Yeah, we bought another one, but it just kind of sat in the garage and I looked at it. The money to fix it.
Right.
And then we had to sell it. So every now and then, if my ex-husband had a battery that was kind of going in the truck, he'd put it in that Cuda and we'd drive around a little bit. I never even licensed it.
Nice.
No, you did. I almost died.
Did you almost back that one out too?
No, the door didn't work. I almost fell out of it. It swung open.
Oh,
Well, that was the whole thing, you know.
Well, all you gotta use one of those tarp straps. You're okay.
Yeah.
Just put a tarp strap on that door. Keep you in.
But I always wanted to do car shows. And when I got the PT Cruiser, I went to a car show in Cleveland, and there was like 125 cars there. I was in car cruise heaven. I just thought that was the best thing.
Yeah.
We all, you know, went in a caravan to breakfast, and I'm like, this is so cool.
Right.
But I have not, and I've been to a bunch of shows with my cruiser, my PT Cruiser.
Uh-huh.
But I got the Challenger 6 months before COVID hit. So no car shows, nothing.
Yeah. But
maybe this summer.
Yeah.
But I've not been able to go to any, but I would love to, you know. Well, I just think that's cool.
Well, that is.
Look on the Carlisle Cars at Carlisle website and go out to the Chrysler Nationals when it's just Chrysler out there. That's a
big deal. Yeah.
Yes, it is. I mean, they put on big shows. Deal.
You know, and I look at things on Facebook, and there's all kinds of even PT Cruiser. Well, right. Not so much anymore, but all these clubs in different areas. There's nothing here in Pittsburgh.
Really?
For Challengers, there's nothing here for PT Cruisers. No. And that's silly. So, you know, if I, bus driver,
you have nothing else to do when you're done driving bus, you set up a PT Cruiser.
Right. Well, I have to laugh because, you know, school bus drivers, they all wave at each other.
Right.
Kind of like truck drivers do too.
Right.
Well, I always wave at the Challenger guys, you know.
There
you go.
And
it's mostly guys, you know. I'm like, but I love it. I'm like, there's a Challenger. I love it. You know,
and do they think of themselves? I think grandma just waved to me.
Well, you know, the funny thing is her son turned what?
Which one?
Nathan. Now he's 21. So, but he just started driving right after I got the Challenger. So he loved that car. He does love it. He still loves it. Actually, her husband does too. Just the other night, we were at a band concert, and I was parked far, and he goes, "I'll go get your car." This is my son-in-law, and I said, "You don't have to." And he said, "But you want to drive it?" He goes, "Yeah."
No kidding.
So he brought it to me. But anyway, Nathan wanted to. He always wanted to drive my car, and he was going to go to this dance this one night for young Marines. And he said, "Can I drive your car to the dance?" And he hadn't been driving very long at all.
Wow.
And I said, "Well, I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. Let me think about that." So I said, and I was driving limos in too. And I said, "Well, let me see if I can get you a limo." So the guy I work for is like, "Yeah, no problem. You drive the limo." So I texted Nathan. I said, "How about if I drive, if you can have a limo ride?"
Right.
And he says, "Well, let me think about it." And he came back and he goes, "Would you be mad if we chose the Challenger over the limo?" And I said, "No, I won't be mad, but why?" "Speed over luxury" was his comment.
Wow. At least he's honest.
"You're not driving my car." So we drove the car to the dance. Mike and Olivia and me, and Nathan had to drive his own car. But also the three, they're her two boys and her husband are like, they all think they're getting my car when I'm gone.
And they're planning for it, right? They
make a joke of it. It's like, who's getting the car? Probably Cheryl, because she's the oldest kid. So. Come on. Yeah, that's right. But I laughed because I'm like, "Hello, I'm not gone. And you're all fighting over my car."
You're still here.
Well, you might as well start now. That way they know.
Let's get it settled.
Yeah.
Can I get the PT Cruiser?
Well, I have to laugh because when I bought the Cruiser 11 years ago, Cheryl's like, "You sure you want to be driving a car with a stick? You know, we're driving at 70. Driving a stick. I'm 72 and I'm still driving the thing." So, you know.
That's awesome.
I know. And I laugh every time I get in that car. It's like, yes, I'm still driving this and I'm over 70. So. Just, you know, like riding a bike. You don't forget.
Exactly. Right. That's it. You keep it fresh and you keep it doing it and it doesn't never gets old. And going for a ride is always fun.
It is.
So I still,
and I try, just,
you know,
hate the day coming that I'm not going to be able to drive sometime, but because I know that's hard for everybody not to be, that's your freedom that's being taken away.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that with my mother. Oh, she complained, even though she couldn't see and shouldn't have been driving.
Right.
You know, and I have an aunt who's going to be 98 this week, and she had her family had to take her car away from her a few years ago.
Wow.
That just about killed her.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard when you're used to having your freedom to just go when you want.
Yeah.
That's what kept me going during COVID was the fact that, I live by myself. But I could get out, at least go interact with somebody in a drive-thru.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't stuck at home like so many people were.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drive.
Yeah.
So,
and now that's even now, I mean, we drive 500 miles a night and I still love getting in the car and just going for a ride. I just, you know, because we live kind of rural. I'm really close to like the farmlands out here. And so I just like to go get lost, you know, and then find my way out. It's a weird thing.
That's the fun part.
Saying that the other day. Yeah.
I love to do that. My dad used to do that.
Yeah.
And when my dad moved here, first of all, he had the best sense of direction. Mm-hmm. He never got lost. Moving here, yes. In the 70s, he put a compass in the car because there's so many, as he called them, squirrel trails here that it's, you can't just go down the block and turn around and come back. You're lost for an hours.
Yep.
And my mother was always lost here. She had the worst sense of direction. But he would just go driving, you know. And I've always done that. Let's just go see where this road goes, you know. Yep. And you may be gone for a while, but that's a fun thing about just kind of going for a drive.
And you may spend the money on gas. You know, but that's our reality now. It doesn't seem to be changing.
No.
Yeah. And for a long time, I would just want to go for a ride. And when gas was almost $4, and you just have to get over that. Sometimes you just got to get in the car and you just got to go.
Yep.
Well,
you know, you just deal with it.
Yep. Right after I bought my Barracuda back in the 70s, that very year is when gas went up to almost $1 a gallon. It was like 70 cents.
$1. How did you make the ends meet the dollar?
I know. Well, I remember when I got my first car, I was 18. I bought a 66 Mustang and gas was like quarter a gallon. They were always having gas wars, you know, in Tulsa, but I could fill my car for like $3.
Yep.
$3.
Yeah, now you can't even get a coffee.
It's just unimaginable to think that today, but you know, but even then, because you weren't making that much money,
that's the difference.
you know, $3 was a lot then. So
when you're making a buck and a half an hour, $3 to fill your tank is still a lot.
Yeah.
You know. It's a different world.
You know, times have drastically changed. I know my first job. Well, I was working in a five and dime then. I wasn't making hardly any money. But my first real job, I think I only made $300 a month. So, and that was before taxes. So obviously I was stuck living at home all those years too.
Yeah.
But it's just, you got to do what's comfortable. You know, you have to live too. So
you do. If you
going for a drive, go for a drive.
Go for a drive. I agree. That has been, you know, I think that's the thing that keeps your mind, at least it's kept my mind clear from time to time. You know, life builds up, kids get, you know, under your skin or whatever. You just got to go for a ride. And I love my kids, but kids, you know, kids can get under your skin. I mean, you know,
I did that. I've always done that. But even now,
a little bit.
When I'm in the school bus or when I'm in a party bus or whatever, and I drop people off, if I'm in an area that I'm not familiar with, I will drive around a little bit. Mm-hmm. First of all, go find a bathroom or something, you know, some place to eat where I can park the bigger vehicles.
Right.
But then I'm just kind of checking out the area. So when I come back, it's like, I've been there. I know where that is.
Yep.
Right. And it helps with directions. But thank God for GPS, because how we ever got around without GPS, you know, I remember having maps.
Right.
You know, and an atlas and You know, my dad had a good sense of direction. I do too.
Right.
And their dad did. I know for a long time I would call him after we got divorced. I'm like going over here. Tell me how to get there. And he'd say, you know, I don't have to do this. But I would. He would tell me how to. When we went to Ohio, he did that to me. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but I know you know where you're going. So give me some, you know, give me some insight there on where to go.
Yep.
But
that's awesome.
He just, you know, he had a great sense of direction too. So
that is really cool. That is really cool.
Yeah. A little bit different.
Yeah. But, you know, I just, you know, whenever you say that, like I say it to my kids now, and they're like, they don't want to be in their cars. And it's a different gender. Like my kids, I don't get that. You know, but they don't ride. They don't go for rides like I used to. You know, when they were kids, my wife and I would get the, you know, we didn't have a lot of money then and we don't have a lot of money now. That doesn't really change, does it?
No.
So, you know, we'd go for a ride and then, you know, find some place to either, you know, let the kids run around a park or whatever. We just go out and just go.
Yeah.
And my kids now don't do those things. It's so different.
I'm surprised though, because, you know, my dad did that.
Mm-hmm.
And their dad did it, and I do, and she does. Now, Cheryl, right. She just runs all the time because of kids. You do, too. But she worries. She's always, Cheryl, who you can't see,
right,
is always on my back about driving. Don't drive that car this way. Don't put miles on that car. She's constantly doing that.
Well, she wants to inherit it.
She wants to inherit it. She wants low mileage.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. She was fanatical about the PT Cruiser. But yeah. That's too funny. But so I called offer to take her youngest daughter, who's 16, which she's just now learning to drive. Uh-huh. But I'll offer to take her somewhere, pick her up. She said, no, don't do that on your car. But then she'll do it to hers. So
I don't do it to mine. I try to save it.
Yeah.
Especially now that it's up to where it's at. I really don't drive.
Oh, you got a lot of miles on your car, Cheryl?
Like 135.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to hold on to it for my youngest because she should have her license by September. So I'm just trying to preserve it. So now I try to let it sit if I can.
Yeah.
Like it's
they go in Randy's truck. Yeah.
It's in motion right now and I can't stand it, but because he picked her up for me so we could be on the call.
It's in motion.
It's being moved right now. I try to preserve it, but
it's in transit.
Is he letting her drive it? Is that
why? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like driving the truck that much. Right. But
but that's such a fun time when the kids are learning how to drive. I mean, that is nothing will test a parent's patience more than teaching them how to drive.
Right.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, her first official lesson with a professional is next week.
What are you hired?
Yeah, I'm not doing it. She's not the kind of. She needs someone outside of the circle. Yeah,
I hear it.
She's not that kind of.
She got in the car the first time and she felt like she did not need any direction.
Yeah.
Because I know how to drive,
right.
What she said. So, and she won't listen to anybody. So, yeah.
She's just 16.
She's just that personality, too. Like, she's, sure. It's just not working.
She's her dad's kid. He thinks he's perfect and everything. So,
everybody under the body.
How about it?
I just sit back here and listen.
But it is fun. It's fun when they're learning how to drive. I mean, there's so many things, you know. I think back teaching my kids how to drive. I taught my wife how to drive. You talk about a patient thing. That is something
really?
I did. She did not know how to drive when we got married. And I think we were married about 3 or 4 years. And I was like, Michelle, you got to learn how to drive. And
oh
she's like,
God.
I don't want to. I was like, you got to. Because we got kids. You know, I can't do this. You know? So I taught her how to drive. And she failed the first time she went to take her test. She failed it because I did not teach her how to turn on the high beams. I felt so bad. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I didn't tell you that. I felt like an idiot. You know, of course, that was before my truck driving year. So I have an excuse, you know. And I was young. I was only 23. So, you know, I never taught somebody how to drive before. And then you got to teach your wife how to drive. And I was like, but she learned. And she's not a good driver now. So
My mom didn't know how to drive when she and my dad got married. He taught her to drive.
And she never did learn.
And she never did know. She was not a good driver. But she was she was 29 years old when she first started to drive. That right there is just too old. You know, her confidence was never set. You know, she'd always say, you drive, you know.
Yeah, so. She didn't catch it at the
but
years.
She taught my daughters how to drive for the most part. Yeah. She really taught both of them to drive.
No kidding.
What?
I guess
that's a car in motion. She just drove by.
And if you can't do it, you teach it or something.
Yeah.
Who can't do, teach.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was our grandma. Well, that is crazy.
Ashley.
Yeah,
I
was going to talk about that too. That Chevy Cruze we were talking about earlier that I bought, the manual. Uh-huh. I bought it right before my oldest daughter's did get her permit, which was kind of a jerk move on my part.
Yeah,
because this is my younger one now. This experience with teaching her, it's really my first go around. Even though I've got two kids, I did not teach that kid how to drive. My older one, because I had a car she couldn't drive. And she was madder than hell at me, but she basically did learn from everybody else. So I think that between Madison's personality and mine, I can't teach her.
Yeah.
And she's not teachable. Yeah. She needs a professional.
She's not. She just, and really, she is like her dad. She thinks she knows everything.
Yeah.
She knows how to drive and that's it. But my first PT Cruiser was an automatic, and that's what I taught Ashley on. But and it's kind of fun to teach somebody how to drive. And I tried to teach Nathan in my PT Cruiser that is a stick, and he just kept stalling it and stalling it. Now with time and age, because he's older now, he's learned to drive it. But
that's good.
You can't teach a kid how to drive that on an old car. Blow up.
Yeah, so she's just so worried that my car's going to blow up.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm the parental figure here.
Yeah, she's my mother now. Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to drive it too long. It's only got 130,000 on it. She's talking to people here. I got 253 on my pickup truck. 200 on my Blazer. He had 374,000 on his Toyota.
Damn.
That car's not even broken in yet.
Right? You can fix your vehicles, correct?
He can. I'm a truck driver.
Yeah, that's right.
I drive. I don't fix. These hands are nice and soft. I want to keep them that way.
You have the precious hands.
Well,
gas goes.
You do anything? You don't have to do anything on your truck, then, right? Because you're driving for a company.
Yeah, yeah. And anything that needs to get done, we just write it up and take it over to the shop.
Well, I remember, and I meant to mention this earlier when we were talking about their dad being out on the road with him in the rain and snow, and he's changing a big truck tire, and he used to stand and lift the tire up from the back.
If that didn't
give him kidney problems, I don't know what did, because he's lifting this huge tire trying to change it, take the one off, put another one on.
And
the elements.
Why do you call a tow service? Because it's money.
Absolutely.
When you're writing the check, it's money. So, and it ain't cheap. Yeah.
Young when he started, but even in his 40s when he got kidney problems, and then he had to quit doing that. But, he was a kid. He was, well, I guess, 21, 22 when he started trucking. And he was a mover at first, and then just wanted his own truck. He wanted that independence. He didn't want to work for anybody. Because he had come out of the Navy, and it was just like, no, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
But I do remember him, out in the cold and all kinds of weather, doing all kinds of repairs that he could do.
That's back when truck drivers were a lot more cool than we are today. Right. Because they actually did their own stuff. Now we just call somebody. I'm broke down.
You don't own it. That's the difference.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's not mine. It's not my responsibility to. No. And they don't want us to. Because, they want.
Yeah, there's some of us that know how to do it. It's a liability issue.
Yeah.
It ends up, you know, if the tire would fall off, you know.
Yep.
Now it becomes a liability.
Yeah, big time liability.
Did I have to pull all the lug nuts or just two?
That it is.
Yeah.
Hand tighten, you know. Don't worry about it. It's good. Yeah. And now you said that your Olivia's son Nathan is he in the Marines?
No. He went to the Marines after graduating high school, but he was medically discharged.
Okay.
In boot camp.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
He was real curious.
Bad. I was just, you know, wanted to thank him for his service if he was in the Marines. Oh. I wanted to make sure I understood. You know,
no,
he put the effort in. So you just still say thank
you. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he had the guts to sign his name on the line. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
No,
he came home, though, a week later. Well, he came home bald and skinny.
He lost 20 some pounds just in that few weeks that he was gone.
Wow. Yeah. And we're so worried about him. We a week later he enrolled in technical school for auto mechanics. Okay. And he's been out of school over a year now, so he works on Hondas now.
Same car mom drives.
Yeah.
We're a Honda family.
There
Honda,
you go.
Chrysler for my mom, and Cheryl's a Chevy person.
Yeah, I like GMs.
But I do have a Pontiac. But they don't.
Well, those are GM.
Her husband
he's a salesman for Honda.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he drives a Toyota. But that's
sisters. I thought his was a Honda.
No, it's a Toyota.
Oh, sorry.
It's a very sensitive subject.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Giant truck.
Sorry, we broached that one.
Well, you know, it's weird because people at work, you know, customers are like, well, what do you drive? And he's right. Like, I actually drive a Toyota.
And they're like, why?
Yeah.
But all the other five cars in my house are behind us. Not five is in a day. It's four.
Three? Yeah. I don't know.
So, more than one?
Got three kids and her four.
We have a Civic, an HRV, a Ridgeline, an Accord, the Toyota, and the
and
Pontiac.
A Toyota.
We have cars.
Well, they have six cars. But
too many cars.
Yeah, but there's five of them in the house.
Yeah, there's five in the household.
Yeah, everybody they're growing into the vehicles.
Right.
Yeah. So they can grow out.
You need to have everybody needs a spare car. That's what my pickup truck is for. It's my spare car.
Look, that's what my PT Cruiser's for. Gotcha. See?
There you go.
You gotta fix your pickup truck before you can use it.
Oh, yeah, I do, but it's there in case.
Oh, man.
So tell us about your limo experiences.
Well, nothing. I deal with a lot of drunks. I mean,
that about sums up our night on a Friday. Yeah. Usually, dealing with a lot of drunks.
Yeah. I mean, I've never really had any, I've not taken anybody famous or anything.
Just your local booth house.
Drunks. Yeah.
That's awesome. So people.
I do a lot of weddings.
People out in Pittsburgh stuff, just.
That's why they're using the limo or party bus because they want to drink. So, you know.
Right.
And most of them will tell me on the way there, we're going to be real different later on. And I'm like, every time they'll say that to me. We're going to be real different group.
At least being responsible.
I just want to say thank you now because I might not be able to later.
Well, you know, a lot of these venues are out in the country, you know, like in the summer, they're at farms and different things like that. And out in the boonies. Yes, that is very practical to drive, to go, you know, in a bus or limo.
Sure.
And it's just safer. Now, like the one venue I do, it's a couple of miles, if even, from the hotel where the people stay. But it's just so much safer for them because it is out in the country still. You know, there's no, you know, street lights where they are. Yeah. Right. And they could end up in a ditch somewhere. So it's just safer. But it is just funny because they'll try to sneak alcohol on the bus, which if it's just the shuttle bus, they're not allowed to bring an open container.
Okay.
But they'll put it in their car, you know. And I tell everybody before they get on, and then somebody will be getting off and I see them holding a can. damn it. You know, they snuck that on there, you know. And
well, it wasn't open when I got on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
No open containers. Then say no closed ones.
Yeah. No, I've really not had any crazy experiences. I had a bachelorette party this one time, and they were like an hour and so away from here. Uh-huh. And I picked them up at a winery. Okay. Like an outdoor winery. Yeah. This was in the summer, and they had already been
it's
drinking.
A good start, quite. Huh?
So there's not a stripper pole. Obviously there's not in the bus, but there was a pole there, and these girls kept trying to get up and dance. And I'm like, you guys have to sit down. And we get on the highway and they're still standing up, and I'm, you know, saying, girls, you got to sit down. Well, then all of a sudden traffic stopped and I hit the brakes. One fell clear down in the steps. You know, nobody got hurt. But I said, this is why I was telling you, you have to stay seated. But I've thrown people in the floor a couple times. Not intentionally. I did that not too long ago. Somebody in the limo. I had to slam the brakes on because this guy almost came out of nowhere and hit me, and I stopped. But the guys in the back, they all fell on the floor. I'm like, oh, well, she fell on the floor. I can't help it. Yeah.
They'll bounce back up.
Nobody got hurt, so that's all that counts.
That's it.
Obviously, but they didn't have their seatbelts on.
They did. No, and there are seatbelts in the buses and the limo. Mm-hmm. But most times people will not use them.
Right. So, it limits their movement.
Right.
Yes, it does. It does. Because, you know, they're just like the kids on my bus. You put them in a bus, they want to stand up and dance.
Yep, they got room.
You know, hello,
future stripper pole kids. That's what they do.
And women at bachelorette parties are worse than the guys.
Yeah, they're
worse.
No kidding.
Subspecies.
Yeah.
It's weird. Otherworldly organism.
You know, the first time that my employer sent me on a bachelor party, I went, I'm an old woman and I'm taking these young guys. Come on. But they were perfectly fine. Not the girls. Oh my God. They're bad for the male drivers too. It's just women, and they get out and party and they go crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. But
who'd have figured?
It's pretty, you know, pretty calm job. I just have to laugh because all my neighbors are like, we don't know what you're coming home in, because I'll bring the limo home or a big bus or whatever.
I don't know what I'm coming home in either. So there's that.
Yeah.
Every day is an adventure.
Keep peering out your window.
Every day is an adventure. Well, it like this Saturday, Sunday. Uh-huh. Well, I drove for concert on Saturday night. Didn't get home till 12:30, 1 o'clock. Then I had to get up at 4:30, and I left at 5. I did. I got up at 4:30, which was stupid. And I forbid it. What? She's over here complaining. My mother is complaining. Okay. Anyway, I drove to Ohio and picked up a group of people, and then I had to stop at another hotel and pick up another group of people and took them to this prison in West Virginia that we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
There was people from 12 countries that came, and then people from this country. They were training at this penitentiary. And I don't know for what, if that's their job. There was policemen there with police dogs. I mean, that were doing this training. Wow. So whatever it was dealing with prisoners, I guess, somehow. Even though this is an abandoned,
haunted prison. Yeah.
But it's huge. It is huge, and it's old. And in some of these other countries, they were saying that the stones that they built this penitentiary with in the 1800s mimic a lot of the prisons in other countries, too.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
wow.
It's just they're older. And anyway, I did not get home till 11:30 that night. So I was driving all day.
And
I have felt it all week. I'm tired. I am extremely tired.
I bet.
I'm getting too old to do this. It's just, It was fine. I enjoyed it. My employer paid for breakfast and dinner. But when you're driving, like, there was just back and forth, taking them here, taking them there.
Wow. That's a long day.
They did that for 4 days. Not the other people, because I had to go drive the school bus, but his other drivers did that through Thursday.
Holy cow.
That's my fun job.
When you get to do things like going to this haunted prison, do you get to walk around the haunted prison too? And like,
I could have
the creepy stuff.
But I chose to sleep.
Get touched by a ghost or something. Well, that's what I would do.
Some of the guys did. They walked around because we were allowed to go in there too. And I know this one guy, somebody took a picture of him when he was in a cell and he's still holding on to the bars. But
They got me.
Yeah, I slept. I'm like, I haven't had any sleep. I'm going to sleep right now.
Yeah.
In that prison, they have old Sparky down there.
Oh.
They have an electric chair on display.
Oh, yeah.
The real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're making a comeback. You know, we're going to start to electrify everything around this country. Let's start with the wall and start with the chair.
Yeah.
And the cars.
Oh, yeah. You're right. The cars. Well,
I'm not worried about the cars. Just the wall and the chair. That's all I need.
Yes, Olivia. Take a drink now. That's correct. Let's just move on. I saw that look. Yeah, I know. Yep. But that'd be the cool thing, is to sit down in that chair and then maybe you get touched by a ghost, or somebody flicks the switch and you become a ghost.
Right.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Either way, you're not seeing
electricity in there anymore. I don't even think they have electricity in there.
I'm sure they don't.
I think you're okay.
Yeah. Well, I've been by there so many times.
Molested by a ghost, though.
Might be. Yes.
There you go. I don't know where that came from, Olivia. Right away, we take that turn.
That was a tiny show.
See,
show.
That's what you get for listening to Tony's show.
I have a podcast in my head.
Oh, God.
She's listening to all the strange voices in her head.
Oh, my gosh.
Tony is a strange
voice. My kid.
Oh, my word. That's funny. So you got anything, any other, like, how the kids, how do you deal with the kids? Like, do you have good kids? Like, what age groups do they have for you on your bus?
All of them. I have high school first. High school's fine. I've never had any trouble with any of my high school kids all these years. Mm-mm.
Kids in Pittsburgh must be different.
They've all got earbuds in or headphones.
Yeah.
They will say hello to me. They will say goodbye or have a good afternoon. The kids are all, see, this floors my daughters that I get these high school kids to talk to me.
Right.
But they do.
I'm surprised too.
Not all of them, but you know, I've made friends with some of these kids and it's fun. You know, it's like I see them. This is the third year I've been driving the same bus route.
Okay.
So I've really become very close to some of these kids and the parents. Right. You don't see high school parents at all.
I can tell them the Yulia story.
Huh?
The Rachel.
Oh, my God. Just so funny.
We can't give out names.
Well, no. Well,
so she's talking about her relationship with these kids.
Yeah.
And I really do. Like, I mean, I try to be polite, and I've taught my kids that. But not all kids do speak to adults.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I always worried that they'd make fun of her because she was always so chatty with them. And so I started... When I was started at my new job back in December, I only started a week before the Christmas party.
Uh-huh.
So I'm at the party and I'm just trying to get to know people. And the one girl that I was sitting by, she had to leave in the morning to get her daughter home because her daughter was sick. And I said, "Where did you say your daughter goes to school?" And you know, she said the school district. And I said, "Oh, that's where my mom drives buses." And she goes, "We love our bus driver." She goes, "We've had her a couple." Wait till the you just ruined it. You just ruined the punchline.
Go ahead.
But this woman kept going on and on about this bus driver, how she loves her, how the daughter loves her, and that they had her a couple years ago, and then she kind of disappeared. You know, they had, you know, she must have been on a different route. And I'm like searching my phone.
trying to find a decent picture of my mother, and I really don't have it because I'm off camera and she doesn't like pictures either. So like, I don't have many. And she had recently changed hair color. So I was trying to get an accurate picture. And, you know, we kind of dropped the subject, and I finally found one. I showed it to her and she screamed. She goes, "That's her." She's like, "That's who we love." She's like, so she started telling everyone and like, cause I didn't know anybody and I didn't, you know, like an icebreaker. She just starts going around the room. She's like, "Cheryl is, you know, my daughter's bus driver. Cheryl is my daughter's bus driver." And it was hilarious. Like she just kept talking about her and talking about her. And then 2 days later,
this is funny too.
I'm at my friend's housewarming party. She had just bought a house and I'm talking, you know, and I know a lot of her friends and we're yapping and I'm telling the bus driver story. And this dude is sitting across from me and he goes, "Oh," and I said, "You know, she loves to drive. She's personable. She'll talk to anybody. She'll BS with anybody. She'll make friends with anybody, anywhere, grocery store line, after knee surgery replacements."
Wow.
You know, like, that's why I didn't want her shifting a manual transmission. Oh, yeah. He just had a knee replacement.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy's like, you know, I said, you know, she drives limos, she drives this, she drives, and the guy goes, "Is her name Karen?" And I said, or no, he goes, "Who does she work for?" And I named the bus driver or the limo company. And he starts scrolling in his phone and he goes, "Is this her number?" And he has Karen-limo driver. And he goes, "We love her." Yeah. they've requested her out there twice or more than once.
Wow, that's awesome. Got,
like the roar of the crowd, because like now everybody's listening. And then he hands me his phone and I was like, "Oh my God, that's her number." And it was just, everybody's cracking up because, you know, I was like, "Oh, I didn't know I had a famous school bus driver mom." And right. You know, bus driver.
Well, you wait till this airs. She's better get some sleep because your limo business is going to be picking up.
Blow up.
Well, I got to tell you this one story, too. It's funny. When I started, you know, I told you I was training like the very week that I decided to do this bus job.
Right.
And the first time my supervisor, the first time I drove a school bus, my supervisor took me out and I am giggling in the bus. I'm like, "On the school bus, I was having so much fun." And he goes, "I have never had anybody giggle. You were going to be a great driver." I just thought that was so cool. In the parking lot going, "I'm driving the school bus."
Did you sing the song, "The Wheels on the Bus"?
No. But no, I do like it. It's fun. You know, it's just fun. Yeah. I do have a good relationship with most of the kids. I have a little kindergartner right now that I just like to boot off the bus, but it's a girl. She's horrible. Anyway, she's terrible. And I can't shut her up. I can't move her. She has to sit in the front. But anyway.
Wow.
Side to point. She's just a little
Karen. Spin.
No, but when I get I get on a bus trip though for the limo or party bus, I'll say, "My name is Karen. I am not that Karen. I will be picking you up later." And they're like, "Oh, okay, we can tell you're not that Karen." I don't know why they picked my name for that.
I have a sister-in-law named Karen and I always think that too, but she's a nice person, you know. And you're a nice person. They should have picked something like, I don't know, Ruth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, never mind. Anyway.
That is funny. Crazy.
It is crazy. Well, I want to say thank you. I wanted to say thank you for coming on. I wanted to say thank you for doing this Mother's Day show for us and giving us the opportunity to highlight a mom who drives. And I just think it's really cool. Your life has been very interesting. I don't know why you don't think your life is interesting. Your life is very interesting.
Drive anymore. That's it.
Well, there you go. That's what's interesting, because that's what this show is about. Driving is interesting. We should name the show Driving is Interesting. Yeah. So everybody gets it. But thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. And we want to say happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you. You guys have been awesome. Thank you.
This was a blast. This was just a blast.
It's been fun.
It was nice meeting Olivia and you, Karen, and Cheryl. It was just nice
meeting you. I'm sorry you didn't get to see Cheryl, though.
it's nice meeting you, the daughter we can see and the daughter we can't see. But, you know.
But we just really wanted to say thank you. And we really enjoyed this. We had a blast. We really did. I'm so glad you came on. I'm so glad you said yes to
it. It was fun. I'm going to have to listen to you guys from now on. I have to find out when you're on. And yeah, that'll be good. Because I've never listened to any podcasts ever. So I'm old.
A podcast is on whenever you want it on. That's the beauty of a podcast. You can listen to it any time of day, anywhere, on your phone or on your computer. It's in your hands. It's whenever you want it. So you get to hear your own show and you're going to love it. I think it was great.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Yeah, we had a good time. You had a blast. We had a blast. We know and we hope you enjoyed yourselves. We really do. We hope
I did. You enjoyed Thank yourselves. You. And I enjoyed being with my two daughters. So that was fun.
It was very awesome. It was.
Yeah. Like I've said before, we don't get many women drivers and you know, you check that box and God bless you for. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, wait, I'm going here. She checks the box for, God bless her for driving those Rugrats around because, you know me, my saying, sit down, shut up.
Which is what you can't say.
Don't worry about those snowflakes, sister. I've been pushing them around many years. But I won't even say the I won't even comment about the bus. I'll pull their names in there.
Thank you.
For any kind of window cleaners.
Hey.
I'll say that. Good day to you, sir.
I'm waiting for you to continue.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, with the hammer down, keep the hammer down the hammer lane. Yeah,
don't
great
go
night.
Anywhere.
Holy crap. Goodbye.
Yes, goodbye. Goodbye.
You never guess the places that I've been. You never guess the places that I've been. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. Everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go, and I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams. Dreams. Give me my dreams.